and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 264. How are we all doing? Oh, need to see the chat. Mike is in a webinar, so we've all got to be very quiet. If someone could explain that concept to Lola, we'd be doing well. She's making the most of it. She's coming in and she's flapping and pre-barking and just looking at me. Every time she does, she gets a treat. No, it's the wrong thing to do. But short of duct taping her mouth, I'm not sure what the alternative is. Hello, everybody. Hey, Jonathan. No, you're not going to know it's open that early. But it is now holiday T-0. Yay! We're there! Oh, much excitement. Yes. Thank you very much, Jonathan. Oh, I'm actually quite excited. That's because I'm contemplating that it's going to be a good holiday. Touching wood. Touching wood. Hello, Paul. I saw lots of stuff about Australia on the news, how everything's opening and it's all fantastic. We have, however, had a bit of an update from United that they're contemplating letting people in. But it's all very, very complicated. Not been a bad day and Jonathan loved MacBytes. Excellent. I was still giggling about the Siri sketch. Oh, I do love Siri. So gutted you didn't get the word niggles if you got biggles. Oh, but you did really well. And Kim was just totally amazing. Kim did a deb. Is that a penguin? It's a blur. You can't possibly work out it's a penguin. And she did. I'm going to have to get more devious. Seriously, more devious. Now, if you remember last time with the Bubble Boutique, Deb actually calculated it out with the Scrabble tiles. It's become quite a thing, this, hasn't it? Guessing the artwork. Oh, it's pretty good down under. Just got to get the quarantine system sorted out. Hey, at least you've got one. I'm not at all sure we have. Seriously. I remember during the first lockdown thinking, well, surely the airports are closed. Oh, there's a plane. And they weren't. They weren't even taking temperatures of people who arrived in. I think the nearest we got to some semblance of order was that there was a sign at the airport that said, you know, be alert. And that was it. If you feel you may need to isolate, go home. And I'm thinking, this isn't exactly quarantine, is it? But you know what I did take the opportunity to do? Oh, yes. Hello, Kim. Yes, Macarooners on vacation. We are all officially on MacBytes holiday until next year now. A whole month off. Oh, we do love it, you know. Do you know, we're very, very lucky that we have so many holidays. Because we had 2 weeks in June, we had a week at Easter and a week in August. The reason we have so many holidays is because I can do what I like. And Mike actually buys 10 extra days. You can buy up to 10 extra days holiday. It's one of these stupid schemes where, to me, just give people a living wage. But they give you your wage and then they give you like these, like Green Shield stamps, if anybody can go back that far, to exchange for other things. And some people use them for childcare vouchers and some get Tesco vouchers with them and stuff. But one of the options you've got is to swap these like credits for extra days holiday to a maximum of 10. And that's what we do. And that's how come we get a month off at Christmas. We always used to take a month off at Christmas, but we didn't have the 2 week holiday in June. And the reason it's in June is not because we want a holiday in June. We have no interest in a holiday in June whatsoever. But June's the end of the holiday year. So we keep them until the end of the year, just in case we need them for anything. Like 2014, when Mike's entire holiday was spent nursing my mother and then burying her. So that holiday, at the end of it, we needed a holiday. They were very, very kind to him, though, to be honest, considering we had just taken, you know, 4 weeks off as our holiday. As it came towards the funeral and he had used his holidays, they gave him bereavement leave. The bereavement leave criteria to be accepted is a nightmare, but we somehow fitted in it. Have we got anything nice planned during the days? Well, the first thing that's going to have to happen is we're going to have to rejig the office for the kit. Oh, and there's a slight matter, isn't there, Jonathan? Now you've had episode 12, anything I can get out of the door before 1 minute to midnight on New Year's Eve, I get an extra point. So, can I declare a maroon to be a MacBytes and annihilate Jonathan? Or is that's going to be against the rules, isn't it, Kim? It's going to be against the rules, that one. Darn it. But, you know, you never know. There might be a show. We've got lots of after hours to do. We won't be doing any shopping, although I am going to have to get my hands on some Christmas cards from somewhere. I swear we had them. You know, in the middle of June, when you've got more Christmas cards than you can shake a stick at, and then it comes to Christmas and you can't find a one. That. So I shall have to do that. And I'm going to have to get some kind of gifts for people without leaving the house. So that'll be interesting as well. But apart from that, no, marooned is not MacBytes. Oh, darn it. Yes, you're quite right, Jonathan. It would end the competition, wouldn't it? Got to give the boy a fighting chance. mind you, we do switch, you know, don't we? We do switch. When there's a live, we go from marooned into MacBytes live. So we could maybe morph into a MacBytes. But then the series would have to come in and then they basically take over and that's the end of that. Yes, Jonathan, sorry about that. The mail only came yesterday. And wouldn't you think they'd put it on Black Friday? Because I know what I did the year I bought Hindenburg. I thought, I'll wait and see if there's a Black Friday deal. There wasn't. I thought, darn it. So I think I was in the middle of the trial and I thought, I'm not sold on this yet. Anyway, I got towards the end and they gave me another 60 days, which took me through to, I think I installed it the middle of November. So it was the middle of December and there'd been no Black Friday deals. The extra 60 days I got took me through to just after Valentine's Day. And as luck would have it, their one sale in the year is World Radio Day, middle of February. So I got in on that one. But I think people wait for the Black Friday deal. They see there isn't one from Rogue Amoeba. You buy the stuff and then boom, 20% off. I thought it was on the bundle. It said on everything, didn't it? It did in the mail. Whether that was actually true or not remains to be seen. Let's have a look. Rogue Amoeba. I do wish they'd have something that was easier spelt. Store. Entire lineup. There was a voucher, wasn't there? What was the voucher? End 2020, wasn't it? Can we put the voucher in? You can't put a voucher in until you get beyond the actually putting your email address in. So I can't tell you, but I'm sure it was on everything. Where's the deal? You can't find it on the website. Okay, Paul, are you in Slack? I tell you what, I'll get the actual mail and I'll read it out to you. Why are you sending a mail? Mind you, I guess you wouldn't have everything. Beta, is it that one? No, it's not. Do we have anything from Rogue Amoeba? No, they're all the support tickets. Crying out loud, it only came yesterday. Oh, come on. Wouldn't you think if you just searched for Rogue Amoeba, it would come up? Or even just Rogue. How many emails get them off the word Rogue in? There we go. Right, it's a mail that came in yesterday, quite late. It says, in this issue of Rogue Amoeba's newsletter, we've got details on compatibility with the new OS, Biggles and hardware. So it's now got initial compatibility with both Biggles and M1. Then there's talk about this big new update to SoundSource 5. Keep going. It's an exclusive discount if you are on their newsletter. However, I can give you the coupon code, which is capitals, no spaces, END2020, end 2020. Let me click the link and see if you've got to have gone in a certain way. Nope, you just use that voucher on the way out. So if you're on their newsletter, you should have got the mail. If you didn't, then the code is in Slack. It's 20% off and the code is END2020. All capitals, no spaces. Good job I'm on the list, isn't it? So I can share this. You're going to email support and ask for it back. Exactly. Exactly, Jonathan. Why not? Are you on their mailing list? Don't mention me at the time. For God's sake, that I'm sharing things only on the mailing list. As far as I can see, it's everything. It's across the board. But the deal isn't on the website, Paul. It's only for people on the mailing list, not just on the website. Right. So it does come off. There you go. Oh, you see, this is the problem, Jonathan. You don't know when to buy, do you? It's happened to me, that. But why not ask? Why not ask? Just don't mention me. Just say you then got this discount and you were a little bit disappointed. Should you put Biggles on your 2017 MacBook Air? I've got it on my 2018 and it's okay in terms of running. I personally would wait a little bit unless there was some pressing reason why. Only because I've had a few crashes for no reason. Things like you go into the App Store and the whole thing's blank and then you have to reboot to get it back. And I don't know why. So apart from that, I mean, it's not to the point that it's unusable. It's just like little niggles. Biggles, little niggles. I did it really to see what grief I was going to have on my main Mac. Of course, we've still got the jeopardy, you know. OK, so iMac ordered. Delivery, 11th to the 18th. What's going to be on it? Because I was absolutely convinced it would be Biggles. And then Paul got his and it wasn't Biggles. Which gives you a bit of a quandary. You know, do you stick with Catalina on the basis of it's not broken? Or do you just do the Biggles thing while there's no apps on it? So just do the Biggles thing early. And I'm in two minds. I don't know. Paul should be on the newsletter. Well, if you are, then the mail came out yesterday about 3:15 our time, which would have been 7:15 a.m. your time. So have a look. Jonathan's not touching Biggles until Christmas. No. Wait until you have no need for a computer just in case, which is what we're doing. Our situation is obviously slightly different on account of the fact that we would only have a 24-hour turnaround maximum. And that would be assuming, because we'd need to go from one maroon to another with no interruption in service, which could be tricky. If we move the Mac that's on the desk to another location and put the new one in, then I know what you're thinking. You can just go back to the other one, plug it in and you're done. Yes, technically. But the microphones are hardwired to the desk and cabling and stuff. So it's not actually as simple as one would like it to be. Let's just say that. And the microphone setup is actually quite complex on the basis that we have microphones that are wired in. We have microphones that are wired to a mixer and the mixer's wired in. It wouldn't be easy. So it could do with like waving a magic wand over it and just having it fixed. Other issue with that is, you know, it's got preliminary support for the Rogue Amoeba stuff, but that's what we use to broadcast. So I'd need to be very detailed about the transition. You know, what exactly isn't working? And if it was the ability to broadcast, that would be a showstopper, wouldn't it? We might have to reorganise the stuff in the office, which will be interesting because Tracy wants a video of where the IKEA drawers are anyway. So we might have to reorganise it so the old iMac is there doing old iMac things and see how we go with that. I'm just looking, seeing if this is viable. Maybe if the desk was bigger. She said the desk's already 6 foot six. 6 foot six wide and 4 feet deep. Yeah, if it was bigger. Just take over the dining room. There's an idea. In fact, do we have a dining room table? Oh, of course we do. Yes, we do. But we moved it. We moved it out of the dining room. That's what we did. Let's have a look. Oh, Paul's found the mail. Did that one escape you, Paul? You need to create a rule so there's bells and whistles when that one comes through. But hopefully that will save you a few dollars on that. It's $2.50, isn't it? $2.50, and then there's local taxes here, which makes it $300. I don't know if you've got local taxes or not, but with 20% off, definitely worth having. Excellent. 6 foot by 4 foot, that's a door. I think it's wider than the door. It's wider than the door. Luckily, the top comes off. The top was added. Originally, this desk has got quite a history. I wanted a desk. I had like, you know, the cheap and cheerful stuff as a kid. Like a school desk, basically, but at home. Not the American style with the writing bit on. You know, just a smallish desk. But of course, they were too small and not sturdy enough once you got computers. So the desk gradually got a bit bigger. Then my dad had a friend, and this friend had just got a shop, and he was dealing in secondhand desks and office furniture. And he said, I've got a great desk in. It's a really good one. So we went and had a look at it. It was absolutely gorgeous, and not like the rubbish that you buy today. This thing was like really heavy, really sturdy, beautiful. Only issue was with it, Mum was saying, with the top, you could do with something on the top, because otherwise it'll all get scratched to glory. So we actually had the thing upholstered on the top, so it's got a leather top on it. That lasted for years and years and years. It was like a brown colour. And I wouldn't normally go for a brown desk. But the renovation on this desk was totally amazing. And it had handled all of my computers for years until I came to the part where, and there's a picture on my website if you want to go and have a look at it under my setup. It just wasn't big enough for what I wanted to do with it. There was no way it would take three monitors. But I didn't want to part with the desk, because the ones that I've bought since for elsewhere, the quality is just not there. They're appalling. You'll end up with a leg falling off or the thing breaking in half. This one, I just love it. I love it. So Mum said, well, you can do something with that, you know, and I thought, oh God, here she goes. She gets a piece of paper out and a pen, and she starts, literally, she's like a draftsman. And she drew out, and she said, yeah, that's doable. And if we do this and this and this and this. And she was so right with putting the leather on the top, because it stopped the vibrations for microphones. So it's like an absorber, a sound absorber. So we designed it all, and I'm sure I tweeted from the shop that we went to. We went to this, it's like a wood supplier, but they also do like customizations. We went there with what we actually wanted. The guy was like, why do you need a desk this big? You do know we're not going to get it through the door so well. Like, yeah, just trust me, just do what I want. And between the new top that's on it, which is also covered in leather, and the old top, which obviously is still there, so this one has gone on the top of it, there's acoustic installation. Not installation, crying out loud. Insulation. So the desk itself has got like a little bit of a bounce to it. And it's actually really nice. So you don't pick up the vibrations off it. So yes, the desk has been around for a long, long time. I have had this desk since I was 17. Oh, bless. That's what, 35 years? Oh, yeah. And I wouldn't want to swap it. But it won't take four monitors. Not unless we extend it further. I don't actually think we could extend this further without adding more legs to it. But, you know, IKEA sell legs. Just saying. Oh, Kim actually used a door as a desk at home. Nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? I remember what we did the alternative, Kim. You're going to love this. The desks I had before I had this one were like small. They were beautiful wood, all varnished, and they were gorgeous. But they were like school desks, and I had three lined up. And once I got this one, I didn't need them anymore. But the wood on the top was like old-fashioned solid wood. And there was a spate locally of houses being broken into. And what they were doing was they weren't going through the front door, which has a porch, so they'd have to get through two doors. And they wouldn't get through our front door, trust me on that. We've got five locks on the inside. It's like a prison here. We can barely get out. People can't get in. But it was the back door. And the back door was a four-panel door. But the top three panels were glass. It was frosted glass, but it was glass nonetheless. And what people were doing, what these idiots were doing, was breaking in through the conservatory at the back. And they could easily get through the kitchen door because it was glass. So my dad was already hyperventilating over these doors. You know, what we're going to do with these doors? It's got glass in. And I said, well, I don't want these desks anymore. I have no room for them. I had no need for them. I said, but look at the wood. Look how strong it is. So we redesigned three desks into three panels for the back door. So we went the other way, Kim. And, you know, that lasted until 2015. And the only time it got taken out was when we were having the extension put in. And everybody else would have an extension where they knocked like a wall down or made an arch to get into this extension. And I said, I don't want that. And the guy building it was like, but everybody does that. Oh, you could knock this window out in the back room. I said, I'm not doing that either. You know, the house was built as the house was built. And I might want an extension on the back of it, which I do. But I don't want other walls knocking down, because then I've not gained space. I've kind of lost a wall. So we persuaded him. But while they're doing the job, I said to Mike, we might as well get that back door changed. I said, because at some point we want to do it. And I don't think we want to do it after they've done the extension. So we had the door changed at that point, and we got this door. And he said, I've actually got a door in that might do you. Come and have a look at it. And it was an ex-display model. Absolutely pristine, because they change all the handles anyway. The thing was, he said, it's a something something door, and it's a special thing that you actually have to have a card hanging off it, like a metal plate, for the fire service, because you will not get through it with a battering ram. You're going to need an angle grinder to get through this door. So with that on the back, we were quite happy. Dad would be so pleased. Oh. Yeah, that, you know, I was sad to see the desks go, because, you know, they'd been really good. And when they arrived, again, I refurbished them all. I didn't want the modern stuff. I wanted something that was strong. And they were on like metal legs, like, I guess like a frame. But the paint was a bit, it'd seen better days, had the paint. So, but Mum, again, how she knew these things, I don't know. Because at the stage I got those, I was probably about 14. And she said, well, if we take the paint off, if we sand them down, she said, we'll put some Hammerite paint on it. And I'm like, OK, what's Hammerite paint? And she said, oh, it's special paint for metal. And it gives it a lovely hammered finish. And I just couldn't envisage this. I'm like, OK, but just could not envisage it. So if you imagine looking at a desk and it's beautiful on the top, but the legs have seen better days. We sanded all the legs down. In fact, I think we unscrewed the top and sanded them all down properly. And we got this Hammerite paint. So I'm like putting it in the thing and I'm painting it on. And it was the weirdest paint. I have no idea how they do it, but literally it's liquid like paint, but it's got a shimmer in it. And when you paint it on, she said, we'll have to do two or three coats. She said, but don't do the first one too thick. As you paint it on, it kind of, there's some kind of chemical reaction with it that it pulls back and leaves holes in the paint. I can't really describe it any better than that. It leaves these holes in the paint, but that gives it this hammered finish. It looked gorgeous when we'd finished. So I was sad to see them go. So it was really good. You know, for years and years after that, you go and you see the back door and you think, oh, those lovely desks. Waste not, want not. Waste not, want not. It looked good when we'd finished. Hello, Simon. How are you doing? Let's have a look. Kim would love a video tour of the office and studio, if that's not too personal. If it was a bit tighter, it'd be fine, Kim. Oh, dear. I think it's because stuff's come, and like you, we have a COVID cave. But it's like, well, I need that one today, but I don't need that one. So Mike brings something like, I can't tell which is which. It's like, well, we'll put that in the mini COVID cave over there. So obviously the place looks like a bomb's hit it at the moment. That's what's going to have to be sorted out before the lovely shiny new iMacs are installed in their beautiful home. The minute I wouldn't... unboxing's going to be a tinge tricky at the moment. But it's as you come up to a holiday, you're like, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done, that can wait. And you start moving stuff to where it shouldn't live. But yeah, we could probably sort out something like that, because you won't have seen the Bites Magic cupboard yet, will you? Half the stuff that Kim's got was taken out of barns or basements and refinished. Exactly. I look at the new stuff and there is some beautiful stuff. I found one at IKEA and I said to Mum, I really fancy that. And it was a kitchen thing. It wasn't particularly the actual... It came in two pieces. One piece was just four legs and the other piece was like this top. And I said I could see that on a desk because these legs were only about 10, 12 inches tall, and they went on the top, but they were angled to 45 degrees. I'll try and find them. And it gives you like a two-tier surface in the kitchen. And I thought that would look amazing in an office with the computers on the top and give you lots of space underneath to put whatever you wanted. We never actually got round to doing it. But she really liked the idea. But then that's typical of my mother. If it meant tinkering around, she would love it. Oh, who knew the IKEA sale's on? How am I ever going to find this? I've got the Go-Sig. That was the stuffed dog, if you remember. Kitchen. Let's try kitchen legs. This is going to be a bad idea. I'm never going to find it. It's the trouble with IKEA. You find the most amazing things. They've got some here, but they're straight. But these legs are 16 centimetres, which is just over 6 inches. But they would work in an office, you think about it. It's just these are straight. And the ones that I was looking for were not straight. Let's have a look at the straight ones. They're called Capita. But they're straight. And there they are. There they are. I thought if I had this, but the other way round, so it was kind of hanging more off the back, they are also Capita legs. But it would enable you to create a shelf system. There we go. So if you look at the one, the white unit top down below, quite liking that. Yes, this is what I need to get more computers in the place. I definitely need that. Hello, Anthony. I'm not sure I did see your first hi. No, I didn't. Good job you said hi again. Anyway, I was saying I'd started doing something. I think I mentioned a while back I'd seen it before lockdown. So it must actually have been, it must have been on about January, February time. And it's a series. It's a Sky Original. So I don't know in the States who you would get your Sky Originals off. I get it via Now TV. And it was a series called Cobra. Hello, Sarah. And I remember mentioning it because as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, this is a bit far-fetched. I can't see that happening. And the essence of the story is, it's Robert Carlyle, who's a fabulous actor. He was the one who played Albie in Cracker. The one with the Hillsborough storyline. And he's the Prime Minister, which is fantastic. He's just great as the Prime Minister. And he's a Tory Prime Minister. In a way, I can't see him as a Tory Prime Minister. But he's the Prime Minister. And there is a danger to the entire UK. And that danger is a solar flare that will take out equipment. And the first thing that happens is a plane crashes. But then they lose the power. In four areas. It is the most amazing story, which I really enjoyed. But then the COVID thing happened and all of the behavioural science things of people going crazy. And I thought, actually, you know, Cobra was spot on. It was spot on. Anyway, as I say, I saw it early February and I decided I was going to watch it again. Watching it the second time, I'm not thinking solar flare. I'm thinking COVID. And it's like, we've got the emergency powers and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm like, yep, that happened. Apparently, they've already commissioned another series. So I can't wait for that either. They've already started filming it. It was such a good series. But particularly in light of the COVID thing. I mean, the cast was amazing in it. But it's all the references to emergency powers and how people behave. And you're thinking to yourself as a normal human being, oh, people wouldn't do that. And yeah, they do. They're completely selfish. There was like an argument over the last bottle of water, which reminded me of when we got Mayor. We went to pick Mayor up. We weren't expecting him to bring him home that day because he was only 7 weeks old, not eight. But she said, he's settled with you. You know, take him. So we were coming back, Bank Holiday Monday, boiling hot weather on the motorway, absolute lock jam on the motorway. So I said to Mike, come off, I'll navigate us. I said, but we could do with some water for the dog. So we pulled into this petrol station and Mike dived out and he dived straight in there. And obviously there's cars full of people coming back from holidays and a million kids. So he dives in there. There's one bottle of water left in the fridge. He reaches his hand out for it. And another guy reaches his hand out at exactly the same moment. And they both stop and look at each other. And the guy says, two kids, six, you know, six and seven. And Mike said, dog, 7 weeks old. You know, puppy, 7 weeks old. He went, you win. And he gave it to Mike. But, you know, with personal experience of stuff like that, you assume that's how people would behave. Dear God, no. It was like, I'm going to cut your throat for that last bottle of water. And I'm thinking, people wouldn't do that. They'd have some sense of decorum. And I'm watching Cobra thinking, no, that wouldn't happen. But I can assure you, it does. So I'm enjoying watching it a second time. If you've seen it, watch it again. Because in light of the COVID, it's even funnier. How would I be using the capita brackets again on top of the desk? Right, if you look at the picture, they have got those at an angle. So if you put the brackets at the back of the desk, pointing backwards, it would kind of extend the desk backwards. And then you could put stuff on that shelf. Depending on the height of them, does it actually say what height they are? I thought they're about 10 inches, but they could be 8. If you lifted your chair up a bit, your iMac would still be at eye level, but you'd have the whole of the desk free underneath. So the way they've got it in the bottom two pictures isn't quite how I would have it. I would have the brackets identical to that, but the wood on the top pushed further back. Obviously, I don't think you could go beyond the middle. Just the physics of it wouldn't let you go beyond the middle. But those brackets on the picture with the clock and the two chairs, the brackets, how they're attaching to the top piece of wood, it's not in the middle of the top piece of wood. So I would move that top piece of wood back so it was hanging over the chairs more and make sure that it was bang in the middle, which would make the physics correct, that I could put weight on it that it would take. It was an idea. The way it went after that was that this desk got put in. So I'm not thinking I'd be doing it anytime soon unless I totally change my mind. But I must make a note of that page because that idea has been with me for so long. I didn't see these brackets on here. I actually saw them in the store. Mum was like, I'm going to look at the kitchens, and I'm like, I'm going to shoot myself. And she said, no, you're going to come with me and look at the kitchens. And I'm like, well, what are you asking me for? What would I know about a kitchen? That's the one with the sink, isn't it? Or is that the bathroom? That's how much I know about the kitchen. But she dragged me round and I spotted this thing and she couldn't drag me away. She's like, what are you doing? I haven't got room for that. And I said, no, that's not what I'm thinking. So once I explained, she was all for it. She really was. But that was the plan. Solar flare makes MacBite's headquarters a Faraday cage. I must admit, as I'm watching this programme with this solar flare business, I'm thinking how people are reacting, or how some people are reacting with this COVID thing, where I'm going out of my mind. I can't take another day without seeing my friends. I need to hug someone. And you're like, yeah, that'd be nice. But you know what? You're not going to die if you don't. But you could die if you do. So let's look at it like that. That I'm not struggling with it. I am not struggling with the fact I have not left the house since March the 6th. I'm not struggling at all. And I know that there are people who are, but when I watched this Cobra thing, I thought, now, lady, have some sympathy for other people who are struggling with the no people thing. How would you be coping with no electric? So I went on Amazon and ordered another one of those solar chargers, just in case. At least I'd have the phone, I said to myself. I'd have the phone and 4G. No, I wouldn't cope. I would cope better with the COVID thing than I would electricity or no electricity. So if I had to choose between COVID and electricity, it would be I'd take COVID any day, apart from the fact that people are dying. But having said that, in this Cobra thing, people were dying. People were breaking out of prisons, attacking people that they thought had attacked other people, vigilante groups. Oh, it was crazy. So about the same, really. But I'd rather live with COVID than I would without electric. That's probably just a personal thing for me, though. And sooner or later, you know, you are going to reach a point where you actually do need to leave the house, allegedly. No, I mean, my car's going to need an MOT. At some point, I am going to need to see the dentist, although I'm brushing my teeth like crazy, so I don't have to. And then, of course, I may or may not get an invitation to go for a vaccine. And I'm not thinking about it until I get an invitation. At the moment, ignorance is bliss. Let everybody else have it first. Be my guest. Take my place. I'll have a look at it when 50 million of you have had it and we see how many have dropped with it. Then I'll think about it. Anthony had a weird experience with IKEA. Ordered some fitted sheets and a throw. Got to the checkout on their website. Chose delivery 7th of January. Or I could have them delivered to a shop 1.5 miles away on Sunday. That's ludicrous. The last time we went there, online, obviously, was coming up to our June holiday. And we wanted to get some cupboards for downstairs. We have a cupboard and mum bought it. And I think it was there about a year and a half, maybe. But the day that Dad was seriously, seriously ill, the day he died, the ambulance and a million other people turned up. And this cupboard was in the hall and it was in the way for them to get the chair pass that they'd put him in. So I just grabbed hold of it. I mean, it wasn't great to start with. I don't know what was wrong with it. It wasn't square, despite the fact that we'd actually put brackets in the back of it. And technically speaking, it couldn't be not square. It wasn't square. So I just grabbed hold of this thing and pulled. At which point it now looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. So I said to Mike, well, we'll get a replacement. The cupboards themselves aren't that expensive. It's the doors, but the doors are fine. There's nothing wrong with the doors. So I said, you know, it's something like £18 for the back bit and about £89 for the doors. So I said, don't break the doors, but the back, we'll get another one. So he goes online. We puts the stuff in the basket. Weirdest thing was what the stuff you couldn't put in the basket. Oh, you can't get this online. You've got to go to a store. But they're closed. We're in a lockdown, remember? So we put certain items in the thing. This was first week in June, and our holiday would have been about 2 weeks later. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, a week's enough for delivery, isn't it? And two weeks, I'm giving them twice as long. Got to the dispatch, where are you getting it from? Where's it going to? And it said, you know, just calculating delivery time. October the 4th. Yeah, that's not happening. So we ended up not getting anything. So you did slightly better than us, Anthony. But you know, who wants to go out to pick stuff up? That is ridiculous. Ah, Kim's got a solar charger as well, see? Ah, tech sisters, doing it for ourselves. And a charger that works as a grill runs on Twix. I'm definitely going to need one of those. When you live in an earthquake area, you have to plan ahead. That is so true. It's after the event, isn't it, that you think, oh, yeah, now what I should have done was X, Y, and Z. We had an earthquake once. I managed to sleep through it, didn't I? I think I'd done an early shift. I had a part-time job, and I started work at like 4:30 in the morning. So this earthquake struck about 10 o'clock. Now, I'd come home from work at 8:30, and I was in bed for a couple of hours. And I thought, what on earth was that? It woke me. And I just thought, what was that? But earthquake here is not the first thing you would think of, Kim. It's the last thing you would think of. So I went downstairs and I said, I had a weird dream. Mum said, did the earth move? I said, yeah. She said, there'd been an earthquake. And I said, but we live in Manchester in the Hello. UK. We don't have earthquakes. I think she might want a whittle. Because she stuffed herself to glory to keep her quiet while you were webinaring. So she now might want to go outside some of it off.
We had an earthquake when I was on the top floor of the CIS building in Manchester.
That's dicey. Probably that one. Yeah. We did have another one years later. The second one was worse. The second one, we were sat here computing. It was pre-2006 because I was on a PC. And we had these shelves in the office and they ran the full length of the wall. And they were about 18 inches deep. And they had like files and binders. And I know one thing that was on it was a roll in a box of Cat 5 network cable, 500 metres of it. So I remember this thing on the shelf. And all of a sudden, everything started shaking. And I looked at Mike and he looked at me. We like stood up. It seemed to go on for longer than it actually did. It was probably no more than like 10 seconds. But all the stuff on these shelves was wobbling like crazy. And when it stopped, I had to push the wood because they weren't screwed to the wall. They were lay on brackets. I had to push these shelves back about 2 inches. It moved that much. And it was way before Twitter and 24-hour news. We had to go on a Manchester United forum on the basis that people were always chatting on there, which they were. And the people in Manchester were saying, good God, did you feel that earthquake? That was a bad one. That was a bad one. Hello, Tracy. You must have been in Leeds for that one, Jonathan. If it was pre-2006, you were probably at home. Ah, now, you see, if you'd have been in Manchester, surely your grandparents were. Ask them. There you go. Ask them about the great earthquake of the early 2000s. It was very late. It was something like 2 o'clock in the morning. They may have slept through it. Ask them if the earth moved for them. And then run if they think you're being cheeky. It's disorientating, Jonathan. It's like everything's moving and your head is thinking everything's moving. Is it an earthquake? But inside you're thinking, you're not exactly panicking, but like, oh my God. Because it's not expected here. So there's no earthquake preparation. There's no like, you should do this, you should get under a doorway or all of that. You're like a rabbit in the headlights. At that moment, everything goes through your mind of what you should have done, but haven't. But luckily, not that bad that anything is ever damaged. Apart from the one in the early 2000s, it's called a spur road. It's like an expressway. It's not a motorway. It's an expressway with like one carriage either way. And it runs for about 2 miles, mile and a half, 2 miles. It comes off the M60. It's the Carrington Junction. So it's known as the Carrington Spur. And it's built to go just behind the church. So it's a really great cut through for us from the motorway. It saves having to go all the way through Sale and Altrincham and Stretford. So nice cut through. But there is a bit of it that's a bridge. It goes over, is that the Irwell?
Don't know.
Well, it's Ashton, isn't it?
No, it's the Mersey. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Mersey. So the Mersey River thing goes under this bridge. So it's quite a wide bridge, but it's just, you know, you don't notice as you're driving over it that it's actually a brick. It looks no different. Apart from the fact with this earthquake, which closed it, because typical, the stuff that was built years and years and years ago, absolutely fine. This newfangled thing that had been opened all of about a year, split clean in half. So the bridge as was not the bridge as was. So they said they'd fix it. You're thinking, fair enough, you're going to fix it. Now, I'm thinking this will take forever if they've got to fix that. They fixed it. It's still appalling to this day. As you go over it, it's completely uneven. It was as though an entire section of it dropped and they filled over the top of it. You know, they're like, no, we'll put a few stones underneath. It'll be fine. Then we'll put some more concrete on the top and then we'll put the tarmac on. It'll be fine. No one will notice. We do notice. It's like a relief map of the Himalayas. If you go over that at 50, which is the maximum speed you're supposed to go over it, you basically take off. It's appalling. And it's been like that ever since. Never done any more with it. Oh, I'm going to have a look at that camp stovey thing. It's, you know, that's the kind of thing I'd get involved with, Kim, but not like a proper cooker in the kitchen. Might be the outside one. Oh, Sarah's been in Portland, Oregon, and they had an earthquake. Quite an experience. I think it's a really good thing that you know you're in an earthquake area because you prep yourself for it. But if it's something you're not expecting, I mean, we've had a couple since that you can barely feel, because they started fracking, gas fracking in Blackpool. And they said it had caused earthquakes, and no one took a blind bit of notice, and it did. And all they'll say about them is, oh, yes, but they're not that bad. No, they might not be that bad. But now there's 60 of them a week, whereas before there was like none. So however bad they are, they could be cumulative. Anyway, they stopped doing that in the end, luckily. So we were getting quite a few of those. Oh, excellent, Tracy. She's got Christmas vectors. That was today's. I love the purple one. I thought that was gorgeous. A bit of a comedy with that. I thought that one's nice. I like that. So I downloaded it and I opened it up in Affinity Designer. Yeah, don't do that. Not with a purple one. I have no idea what's wrong with it. It was designed in Illustrator, I can tell you that much. But Affinity Designer does not like it. It is pixelated to glory. And yet there's absolutely nothing wrong with it in Illustrator. Luckily, I have Illustrator, but I loathe Illustrator with a passion that knows no bounds. I've never really got along with Illustrator. I've used it when I have to. But I switched to Sketch first for about 18 months. Then it went subscription, silly pricing, one machine. So that wasn't happening. There's only one of me. And then I switched to Affinity Designer. But with that one, purple one, didn't like it. But the rest, excellent. Simon says, last time we had an earthquake in the UK, you read somebody on Facebook said, I couldn't say for sure if it was a proper earthquake or not because my husband was sat on the same sofa. Oh, and Jonathan must sleep like a log. He says, if it was at night, you'd have slept through it.
He does sleep like a log. Nothing waste, Johnny.
That's very true, actually. How are you feeling today, Jonathan, talking about being sleepy?
You are going to sleep.
You're feeling sleepy. Oh, Kim had a 6.9 and ran out into the parking lot. Lived next to a retirement home and you could see the poor guy naked running around his apartment. Oh, no. God, that's it, isn't it? But you sleep in your clothes just in case. Scary stuff. Oh, and Paul was there for the Newcastle, Australia earthquake. Not sure I heard about that one. Not if it was as far back as 88. That's the thing, you know, if it happened now, it wouldn't matter where it was in the world. We'd all hear about it. But back then, I'm sure you guys never heard about the Manchester one, because by comparison to what you have, I think it was a 5-something. But it was so short. If it had been longer, it'd have probably caused damage. Kim says, if she thinks they're having an earthquake, you look at the lines hanging from the blinds. If they're moving, it's an earthquake. We need to get some blinds, Mike, just in case. I think we'd only notice, seriously, if it was as bad as that one that night you went on the forum.
Mm.
I think it would have to be pretty bad for us to feel it. Sarah wasn't expecting it, didn't realise they had earthquakes, woke up in the morning to find everything falling off the walls on top of the sideboard. Oh, well, I think everything would have gone off those shelves if it had gone on much longer. I was just relieved to get them pushed back. But I think Mum and Dad slept through it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Imagine they did have that wonderful bed with the most... It's a sprung thing. I think they've had it since they got married. I think it was a wedding present. And I was actually born in this bed. It's had a new mattress, don't panic. It's the most amazing bed. It is so comfortable. So, yeah, they slept through it. Oh, Simon loves Illustrator. No. I can get by with it. It's just, I find some of the design decisions illogical in it. Let's say no more than that. And, you know, when you live in one app that does the same thing and then you go over to Illustrator, you're like, where's the X tool? Where's the Y tool? And they've done this weird thing with the interface, where there are workspaces that you can save with the tools in certain places, which would be amazing in Affinity Designer. But I'm looking at it thinking, where's it gone? Where's the tool I'm actually looking for? And then they've moved my cheese again. Yes. People need to understand, don't move my cheese.
Don't
freaks me
move
out.
My
no,
cheese.
Don't move my cheese.
No, ooh. don't move my cheese.
No, or Lola's cheese. She likes cheese.
She does.
That was the missing item last week. Lola was not impressed. We had a tapping of the paw, didn't we? And a tutting going on as she looked at the man delivering it with, we've got no cheese. And she just growled. He'll bring the cheese next time. He'll leave some little old lady without the cheese. Oh, dear. So I came at a football match, a football game a few years back. Crowd was cheering so loud and stamping, it registered as an earthquake. That isn't going to happen here anytime soon, Kim. You had the email from United?
Yeah.
Whoa, the email's working again.
Yeah.
It's all very complicated, isn't it? I have a question regarding that.
Yeah.
How come some people have already bought season tickets for this year?
Because they decided to renew. We could have done it.
Will we get our own seat if we do?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, what happens with the they decided to renew but the games aren't happening, so are they getting refunded?
I guess so.
Crying out loud. But Dave, we're definitely going to get our own seats. Yeah,
Dave and I'll end it.
Oh, right. And then get refunded?
I presume they get refunded.
Hmm. As long as we're guaranteed our own seats. So we're fine with that, yeah. Aren't we? Good. Oh, the infamous brochure on Slack. I'll go and have a look at that, Tracy. Oh, special hangers for pictures in case of earthquakes. That's genius. That is genius. I hadn't thought of stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, obviously, what I should have done was screwed the actual shelf to the bracket. The stuff on the shelf would still have moved, but the actual shelf itself wouldn't have moved. I think the reason I didn't do that was... I think it was the screws. I probably got the long screws and not the short ones. So I thought, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you're just going to put it on these brackets. And there was like 8 of these brackets. So it wasn't going to move, I told myself. I hadn't banked on the earthquake.
You won't be guaranteed your seat for the Leeds game.
Oh, no, no one's guaranteed that. No, I'm talking about when you renew, yeah. Will you get your own seat? Because yeah. I didn't get a mail saying I could renew. As far as I was concerned, you couldn't. Oh, what's the matter with the darn machine now? Now the enter key's not working.
Oh, escape wasn't working next door last night.
Do you know, this isn't funny. I'm going to have to reboot as well because half my data's missing.
Oh.
Is the keyboard actually working? Don't tell me that now. In answer to that, no, the keyboard is not working. But it was working 5 minutes ago,
that. Has it run out of battery?
No. The lights are on.
Oh.
Nobody's home.
Oh.
But the lights are on.
My Surface nearly ran out of battery. Well, actually it didn't. It just put itself in low battery mode.
Nope, not working. Might have to swap a keyboard.
That's not good.
Oh, at least it happened now and not during the show.
You've got my spare keyboard, haven't you?
This is ridiculous. I'll plug it in and see if it does want a little bit
of power. It'll be the Bluetooth.
It probably will be the Bluetooth.
Yeah. It's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, why have we just bought another one? Remind me again. Maybe it is that, I don't know. Let's plug that in. Now I've got to stretch the cables. I want to see Tracy's brochure. You'd think you could do it with a mouse, wouldn't you? Connection to keyboard lost. You mean you had a connection and now you've not got a connection? Fabulous. I am going to lose my temper with this. Right, so I've pushed the button again and now I've got now it says it's connected. Oh, excellent.
Just go and check the battery level.
You can't check the battery level. Not on this one, you can't.
Why not?
Because it's not an Apple one, so it doesn't...
Oh, it's a special keyboard.
It's a special keyboard for special occasions.
For special people.
Right. Excellent. Now I can see it. Oh, that looks fabulous. Oh, I can see the shine on it as well. Liking that unit top while I'm at it. Beautiful sky on that picture, isn't it? Complements the blue beautifully. Looks perfect. Loving that. Excellent. Do you know, it does make a difference seeing it printed out, doesn't it? That's what I was like last year when we got the brochures back and we did the unboxing of the brochures. It's like, oh, my precious. It does. It looks lovely. Very impressed. Right, let's move that so I can see the chat again. Now that's upset something else. Crying out loud. Excellent. Well, we're going to be back with you at 9 o'clock. Has Jonathan been in yet and claimed first spot?
Jonathan's been in, but Debbie S claimed first spot. But neither of those will have registered in the chat.
You'll have to add them later, manually.
I could do.
You could.
Yeah.
We need to know who was first and when. Jonathan wasn't first in here tonight, but only because I opened it alarmingly early as far as he was concerned. He was in second, though, which, you know, if Kim disqualifies me, which would be grossly unfair, but if she did, you can't do that, not when we're celebrating it being the first day of our holiday. So we will be back with you at 9 o'clock, tech permitting, including the keyboard. But we will say for the moment, good night from me.
Good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.